Hey everyone, welcome to JRC TV. This week we are doing a special audio interview. So if you're listening on the podcast, thank you for tuning in. And we're talking to someone that I met recently and had a pretty unique experience with. We jumped on the phone and I found out that I believe for over 30 years he's been focused on breath work. And he gave me a few ways to improve my focus, my mind, my body, and all through the breath. And he taught me a couple techniques to use, which I've been using every day. And it's been amazing how much more in touch I've become with my own body, how much more I can direct my mind at will, and how much more focused I can stay throughout the entire day and process just by using this. But I'm going to let him introduce himself. So let's say hello to Mr. Dan. And is it Bruel?
Brulé.
Oh, I was so close. I remember you told me that before. Dan Brulé. And is that correct? You've been doing this for over 30 years, focused on breath work?
Oh, I started, actually, yeah, more than that, because I started in 1970 as a serious structured student of the breath. So a little bit longer than that.
Wow. What got you into it?
I was... formally got me into it. I resuscitated someone at Boston City Hospital in 1970 when I was an x-ray student. I was on the crash team. I volunteered to learn CPR, and I was called to take a chest x-ray on a guy by the name of John Doherty, who was a talent scout for Ted Williams, who was the manager of the Red Sox at the time, and John worked for Ted Williams. He was a talent scout. He had a heart problem, ended up in the hospital, and so I got called in to do a chest x-ray. In the room, he had arrested. He was clinically dead. He had no pulse. He wasn't breathing. His pupils were dilated. So my training kicked in, and I started to blow into him. And within a minute or two, he blinked and came to life. And it was a freaking miracle. I was so hooked on the magic and the miracle of breath that you could do something with your own breath and literally put life into someone. Oh, man. I thought, okay, this is it. And I had earlier childhood experiences that kept bringing me back to the breath, near-drowning experience, getting the wind knocked out of me. And, you know, life just kept bumping me into the breath. And it finally took a form and a structure, and I became a serious student and never looked back.
Wow, very cool. Very cool. And along your journey, so for that many years, you've got to have some pretty unique experience. I mean, the starting experience of saving someone's life obviously would light you up and get you addicted to that feeling. But what have been some of your favorite moments along the journey so far? Either someone you've worked with or a situation that's happened or... unique results?
Well, the a couple of the basic tenets or aspects of breath work, the first is breath awareness. Just the power of remembering to tune into your breath, noticing your breath. I was a deep sea diver when I was in the Navy, and I was a medical person, and I worked a recompression chamber. I was diving myself. I was off in the topside tender. And I could listen to people breathing. I could listen to the guys breathing while they were down there working. And I started to realize, God, I knew exactly what they were feeling. Their breathing was reflecting and expressing their emotional state, their psychological state, how much energy they had, if they were struggling, if they were tired. And I started to realize, wow, I have this ability to get information through the breath in the same way that you can get information from the tone of voice or a posture or anything like that, facial expressions. I started to realize that, hey, the breathing is a way to communicate and get information. I started just pay attention to my breathing. And there were a couple of moments, like, for example, when we were training, and you get to the edge of your ability to cope and you don't think you can make it, and if just a couple of guys just breathe together, just take a couple of breaths together, boom, the energy you get, your focus comes back, and you can go that extra mile if you just begin to notice your breathing, turn to your breathing. And so I had many times in the military when, you know, you start to lose your focus, you start to panic, and so you train yourself to focus on your breath in that moment, and it gives you a handle on your physiology, it gives you a handle on your psychology. You gather your energy, you gather your focus, and then you can perform. So, but we don't usually turn to our breathing. We have to train ourselves to observe our breathing under different situations and different circumstances and begin to make our own connections. Hey, when I'm peaceful and calm, I breathe this way. When I'm afraid or uncomfortable, I breathe that way. And then we discover that, hey, you can use the breath to shift from one state to the other. So God, I had so many moments when panic started to come, when I got a fuzzy head, I got clear, I was doubtful, whatever. And you focus on the breathing and realize, whoa, the breathing is chaotic, or I'm holding my breath, or my breath is shallow. And so then you naturally start to control your breathing. You breathe more fully. You release the breath. You release tension. And so the breath awareness leads to conscious breathing. You observe your breathing patterns, and you can tell whether they're functional, whether they're serving you. And if not, then you click into conscious breathing. You provide yourself a resourceful breathing pattern to restore your energy, restore your clarity, your focus. And so breathwork just became a method, a technique, a skill, and I just been playing with it and throughout the years. Hey, the yogis have long taught, there's some ancient techniques, the Taoists, the old martial artists, the ancient warriors, they had techniques, so you have to study those and apply them. But in our day and age, a lot of that stuff needs to be tweaked, refined, and so that's each of our individual job is to do that.
Interesting. And so,
go ahead.
I was going to say, talking about those tenets you were mentioning. So the first one is to become aware. What comes after awareness?
Well, the first is awareness, and it's basically meditative awareness. You're not doing anything special with the breath. You're not breathing in any certain way. You're just developing the ability to observe your breathing, notice your breathing, tune into your breathing, sense your breathing, watch your breathing. It's breath awareness. That's the first aspect of breath work. And then you take that, you do it as a ritual, like a meditation practice, 5 or 10 or 15 minutes in the morning. You use the breath as the object of a meditation, and you develop mindfulness. You develop this witnessing capacity, which in some way is the essence of the Buddha, the ability to be an observer, to be a witness. So that's the first aspect. And then you take that breath awareness into different activities. Notice how you're breathing when someone is insulting you. Notice how you're breathing when you're in the zone. Notice how you're breathing when you're struggling with a math problem. Notice how you're breathing when you're having an orgasm. Notice how you're breathing when you're driving your car. And you bring breath awareness into your activities, and you start making connections. And those connections, that's about self-knowledge. That accumulates into a mass of intuitive subconscious data that your system will draw on by itself. So that's the first aspect. The second aspect is conscious breathing. That's where you give the breathing a certain pattern, a certain quality. You breathe with a certain intention. You regulate the breathing. You control the breathing. You're using it as a tool. And so that's the second aspect. And anybody who's done any research quickly discovers that there are thousands of breathing exercises, breathing techniques, ways to regulate your breathing, styles and approaches and methods and schools of breathing. You know, there's lots and lots of them. So you can pick and choose, you know. I believe we should be like Bruce Lee. I think we need to mix. We need to get something from this science, this tradition, put it together and create our own unique practice. So conscious tenet, the second aspect. And so that's where we start to actually manipulate the breath, do something with the breath with a certain intention or a purpose in mind.
Very cool. And what are some examples when you say use it as a tool? Mm-hmm. Obviously, you said there's thousands of different techniques or ways you can use this as a tool, but what are a couple of examples? Let's say someone here wants to be more mentally focused.
Mm-hmm.
What are a couple breathing techniques or something you could give them as a tip that would say, hey, if you do this, it'll help you really be able to focus your mind through breath work?
Well, the very practice of focusing on the breathing and tracking the subtle sensations of breath, following the path that the breath takes, starting at the tip of your nose and meditating on the sensations and being present to the details, you are actually developing focus. So one of the principles is the more conscious I become of my breathing, the more aware I am of subtle details and movements and changes in my breathing, the more conscious I am, period. The more aware I am in general. And so the breath becomes an object of meditation. It becomes a way that we can develop focus. You use the breath to practice being able to quickly focus, and you focus on the details, and you focus on the sensations, and moment to moment. And so that's the direct route. Develop the ability of focus itself, and we use the breath to develop that capacity we have for focusing, and then we can apply that focus to anything else. Now, if you're talking about trying to clear your mind or, focus your mind, it often requires shifting out of something else. So that's when the exhale comes in really handy. The ability to let go of what your focus is now. So we practice releasing the breath. We untangle ourselves from whatever is distracting us, whatever has dominating our attention, whatever we're caught up in. And so we need to gather our resources, gather our focus. A good way to start is to practice engaging the exhale, snapping the exhale loose, dumping the exhale out, setting the exhale free. So that's like an exaggerated sigh of relief, but you try to make it very quick and very total. It's not a slow, gradual exhaling. You dump it out, you set it free, and in that moment, you release muscles, you release joints. So you are practicing and developing the ability to let go, and that puts you into kind of an open state. You untangle yourself from whatever you're caught up in, and now the next moment, you're coming from a place of clarity. So if you haven't learned to let go of your breath, don't be surprised if you can't let go of anxiety or fear or pain or tension or thoughts that are ruminating in your head or things that are distracting you. You haven't developed the energetic ability to let go. So we use the breath to develop that ability to let go, and that puts us into a kind of a neutral, clear space where we have a choice that we didn't have a moment before. There's a freedom there. There's a spaciousness there. And then you use the inhale to open and expand your awareness. As you inhale, you're stretching, you're expanding, you're opening. And you don't have to imagine it. The breath actually opens and stretches and expands you. So you track those sensations of expansion and opening. And you're literally expanding your awareness. You are opening your mind, and suddenly you're aware of other things you weren't aware of. Your senses have been opened. Your awareness has been expanded. And your consciousness has been expanded. And now, again, with just a breath, you're in a space of choice rather than reaction. You'll sense things you didn't sense a moment before. You'll see things you didn't see a moment before. And the process of bringing in energy, now you have something you can channel. You can give that energy direction. The breath is what fuels the mind. The mind gets its power from the breath. So we bring in a nice expansive inhale, loosen, let go, and now we're in a state that we can channel energy, move energy, shift our focus. And on a battlefield, that's got to, philosophy doesn't work. I have a great friend, General James Cook, Army Ranger, really amazing guy. And he says, it's not what you can prove, it's what you can show. And so there's lots of proof that breathing is good for this and breathing is good for that. But you got to show it to your own brain. You got to show it to your own system in a way that your cells get it and your subconscious gets it. And then now you've got something. It's not what you can prove. It's what you can show. And if in one moment you're in one state, you take a couple of breaths, and you're in another state, you have just shown yourself that you have this ability to access energy, release anxiety, or whatever the purpose happens to be in the moment.
Wow.
Very cool.
And with channeling that energy, I've seen, and obviously throughout the years, practice different martial arts. Mm-hmm. And they talk about it, they call it the chi, but it's using that energetic life force or that breath force inside of you to emit the power of the physical body. And I remember as a young kid learning how to break boards when I was 5.
Mm-hmm.
And it was more about breathing than it was physicalness.
Yeah, there it is. It is. And it is, we are talking about chi, prana. We're talking about life force energy. And, you know, in breaking bricks, breaking boards, one of the principles is you bring mind and body together, that one-pointedness. And when you can bring mind and body together, a force emerges that doesn't emerge if your mind is one place and your body is another. And so if you want to break that brick, your mind and your body better be in the same place at the same time at the moment that you hit that brick. And so the magic of going to the next level is you bring together mind, body, and breath. And that accesses a greater dimension. An energy emerges that's even greater than just mind-body, but it's the breath that allows us to coordinate mind and body. The breath is the bridge between the mind and body. And it's about training. You really, when you are skiing down a hill, you can't be thinking, okay, lean to the left, pick up my right ski. You know, if you're playing the piano, you can't be thinking, put my finger here. It has to be flowing out of you. And so that's the real necessary value of breath work. It's about training. It's like learning to swim. You know, if you fall out of a boat, you don't have to think about what to do. If you know how to swim, your body will just do what it needs to do. But that's because you trained it. That's because you practiced in a shallow pool. You practiced the dog paddle. You practiced floating. At first you had to think about it. You swallowed water. Somebody had to help you. But once your body learns that, you never forget it. And so you can train into your system certain breathing patterns, certain breathing reactions and reflexes. So in the moment that you need them, they click in. You don't have time to think. If you have to think and choose to breathe a certain way, it's too late. Your system has to have been trained to automatically open and expand, relax and let go, and bang, put you into that state in a moment. And until we have the unconscious habit of doing that, we need to practice doing it as often as possible so that it becomes second nature and it becomes the automatic reaction of our system. And then some really cool things are possible. The yogic skills that you read about, these Taoist masters, the great warriors of the past, mystics and saints and healers, we can access those kinds of healing and creative energies. And it's a matter of breath training.
And so when you say practice, is this something like someone goes to the gym, so physically they go physically practice lifting weights for an hour a day? Like how often, when, or where should someone practice?
Hey, I don't know if you've heard of Patanjali. He wrote the Yoga Sutras. One of his students said, wow, you know, like how long will it take for us to be like you? And he said it depends on the intensity of your practice. So I learned a formula a long time ago. It's 40 minutes a day. And I don't know any way around that. But it's 10 minutes in the morning, 10 minutes at night, and 10 times during the day for 2 minutes. Now that, a way of practicing, it integrates it into your life. It's a ritual that you start and end your day with. You could shorten it to 5 minutes in the morning, 5 minutes at night, and maybe 5 times during the day for 2 minutes. But for serious students, 40 minutes, that's not a big investment. And if you spread it out that way, you will be getting all of the benefits. And so there are some things that it's already been proven 5 minutes of 6 breaths per minute creates changes in heart rate variability, creates changes in cortisol levels that last up to 2 to 3 to 4 hours, just 5 minutes of 6 breaths a minute. So it doesn't take a lot of practice to trigger real measurable physiological benefits, and you can build and accumulate them. So what I'm doing now, and if somebody wants to practice, there are two key skills that are very difficult or impossible to access when you're in pain, when you're afraid, when you're under stress. And so I'm encouraging people to practice those two skills. So since they're very difficult to access when you're under stress, you want to train them in your system so that you can access them when you're in pain, when you're in afraid. Because if you haven't trained before, you won't be able to really manage it when you're under that kind of pressure. And what we start with are two natural reflexes, yawning and sighing with relief. Yawning, and that means for 5 minutes you just yawn. You trigger a yawn, you activate a yawn, you make yourself yawn until your eyes water, until your body is tingling. And while you're yawning, you are taking long inhales and big sighs of relief. So you activate a yawn, and then you breathe in slowly and gradually, expand, snap the exhale loose, give yourself a sigh of relief. So the yawning is taking place at the same time you are consciously manipulating your breath. Long inhales, big sighs of relief. And that repattern our system. It gives us the ability to access access energies and relaxation under stress. And it's very powerful and very simple because everybody already knows how to yawn. And you know if you're cheating, you can't fake a yawn before a real yawn happens. And so then you just inject these expanded inhales and big sighs of relief while the yawning reflex is occurring. That's cutting-edge breathwork training right there.
Very nice.
And then you could do that.
It seems so easy to do.
It is. It's simple. It's basic. And that's how it's supposed to be. The simplest things always turn out to be the most powerful. So if some of your people want to practice, that's without needing an expert, without needing any training. You trigger one yawn after another. You yawn continuously, and while you're yawning, don't freeze. Don't block the yawn. Breathe in and breathe out. Expand the inhales and release the exhales while the yawn is taking place. And the other key technique is what we call continuous breathing. It's like a happy dog. It's continuous breathing, in and out, no pauses, no gaps, smooth, steady, like a wheel turning. You also see it in a cat who is comfortable and relaxed, and you hear them purring, and they're just and you'll see that they're in a connected breathing rhythm. It's a relaxed, continuous breathing with no pauses or gaps between the breath. It's a smooth transition, inhale, exhale, with no interruptions, no gaps. You practice that while you're yawning. And those are the two key cutting-edge breathwork skills. I'm telling you, after 40 years of practicing and trying everything, this is dynamite. For those who really practice, a daily practice, you'll get more out of that simple, silly practice than you will out of, you know, years of pranayama, inhale for the count of 12, hold for the count of 8, exhale for the count of 16. You can move on to that. Master these basic skills, you can go so much further, so much faster with those classic techniques and those traditional methods.
Very cool. That's exciting. Well, I have been using the ones you showed me for the past, I think, couple of weeks now since we first talked.
right?
And it's amazing. I have felt the difference. I've certainly become a heck of a lot more aware of my breath. I didn't realize how often I hold my breath throughout the day, which is amazing. There's so many times where I'll sit there and think, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm holding my breath right now. Take a breath. And then just having a system to consistently follow as that routine of what to do once I notice I'm holding it. Like, how do I breathe? Do I just take a giant breath and keep going? Or now that I have a system, a rhythm to follow throughout the day, it's really amazing because now I've caught myself literally just naturally going to that rhythmic breathing like you talked about, where I'll find myself and I'll see the breath, and then I'll just go into that constant breath for a while. Then I'll go into the breath pattern of breathe in and let it release, breathe in, let it release. And it's amazing. The one thing that you had told me before was that big sigh out, if you add the physical gesture to it, like you allow your shoulders to come up with the breath and then you literally drop it out, for some reason that physical association with it helps me a little bit more than just dropping the breath by itself.
Definitely. And some people visualizing will help more, or using sound will help more, or repeating an affirmation or declaring a thought. You know, we all have different ways of learning and impressing ourselves. It's like learning the scales in music. You know, someone asks, well, how often should I play? Well, how bad do you want to be a great musician? You practice the scales for every day for hours. You practice the basic chords and the basic finger movements for hours every day, if that's your passion. And if it's just a beautiful hobby to be able to give yourself pleasure or to be able to enjoy, you know, making music for yourself or your friends, then you don't have to be obsessed about it and practice continuously. But if that's your passion, you will want to master the scales. And the only way to master them is through deep practice, continuous, repetitive practice. And so you can decide that yourself. You want to practice for 20 minutes a day, 40 minutes a day, but definitely spread. You're starting to notice while you're in the middle of things, I was holding my breath, or, I'm breathing up in my chest, or, I'm breathing fast. Or that breath awareness, that's starting to work, and that's a big, big part of it.
Very cool. I love it.
Yeah.
Very, very cool.
And hey, last thing is, there are breathing patterns associated with very high states of ecstasy, profound states of joy and bliss. And when you train your system to access those breathing patterns, you are in for some pleasure, you are in for some profound experiences, because your body, your system will begin to, you'll use the breath to open your system to higher energies, more sublime energies, more powerful energies. You can channel more energy. You know, there are some, think about all the things we've heard about the ancient yogis and the Taoist masters, and say, hey, you know what? 20 years in a cave, the average person can reach that same level in a few months. It's amazing how life is accelerating. What's possible for us today is mind-boggling compared to trying to do it 2,000 years ago.
That's amazing. And one thing I noticed is that I joined your Breathing Mastery group, and I was looking through the website, and it seems like a really great resource for someone who is interested and is passionate and curious about this topic, where they can go and learn more and join in. And I'd love for you to share, how do they get involved? Like, where's the best place for someone to go if this really caught their attention, they really feel this, and it feels like something they're curious about and want to get involved? Where do they go?
Yeah, breathmastery.com, breathmastery.com. And you'll see I've interviewed Mark Divine, the Navy SEAL, Stig Severinsen, the world record breath holder, other stars in the breathwork world, applied breathing science, intuitive breathers. I'm on this mission, and I know just about everyone in the breathing world. If I don't, I want to know them. And breathmastery.com is a platform for people to get a wide view of breathwork, many different styles and approaches. And the thing you mentioned is my Inner Circle membership. And in that membership site are 30 years collection of transcripts and recordings from seminars and articles and books on breathing. So somebody can swim around there. And I also update it regularly. Seminars I'm doing around the world, we transcribe them. We put the recordings in the membership area so you can go at your own pace. We do mid-monthly coaching calls for people who are members. So breathmastery.com, there's a slew of articles and interviews and videos there. And if you like any of that stuff, then you just click on the membership, become an Inner Circle member, and then you'll get my personal coaching and attention as a benefit of being a member.
Very cool, and I'm loving it. There's so many resources and so much content in there. It's fun to just click through and see all of the different options that are available.
Yeah, we need to organize it a bit. We're having fun. Just right now, we're just dumping everything onto the area, so I can. It's like going into a basement and finding all this stuff, and you know, you just see what click on something and see where it takes you. But we're playing with organizing that a bit more. And people are having fun on it. So yeah, thank you. I was thrilled when I saw that you became an Inner Circle member. And I encourage other people to do it. Send comments. If you're practicing something, send me an email. I answer every email I get. I'm still able to do it. And as long as I'm able practically and logistically to do it, I will. Somebody sends me an email saying that they're practicing something, I will definitely answer them.
Very cool.
Very cool.
Very cool. Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing your life experience and years of experience and all your knowledge and practice with us today. It's definitely been a pleasure.
Thank you for being who you are, man. You're one of those people that's making a real difference in the world, and that's exactly the kind of person I choose to love and serve.
Thank you so much.
I appreciate this relationship, and I salute you and celebrate you, brother.
Same here. And for everyone who decided to listen in and tune in today, thank you. Remember, that website is breathmastery.com. Check out that Inner Circle. It has tons of information. Definitely loving it myself. And we look forward to seeing you for another episode of JRC TV. Till then, have an amazing week.